All right. And we are rolling for episode 10, getting into the double digits. So thank you for tuning in to Triple Knot, a podcast for collegiate runners to share their stories and a place to open up conversations around the challenges we face as young female athletes. So today I have a very special guest. And when I was thinking about how I wanted to introduce this, I was at somewhat of a loss for words because Sammy Seymour here has been one of my most long-term friends ever. And first of all, we're actually only a mile apart from each other, which is kind of crazy. And the elementary school that we first met at is exactly in between us. So it feels slightly ridiculous that we're still doing the episode over Zoom. And I really wish that I could do it in person, just like every other episode, because nothing beats the natural flow and connection of face-to-face conversation. But anyways, by virtue of good fortune, Sammy and I were chosen by the universe to be in all the same classes together from first to fourth grade. And we have of the best childhood memories, whether it was breaking our second grade, our scary second grade teacher's rocking chair by accident.
I forgot about that till right now.
Yeah, love him. He used to make us do push-ups and other crazy athletic things that I was not inclined to do at that young innocent age. And some other memories I'd been thinking about was when I passed out at Girl Scout camp and Sammy brought me a fairy that night to make sure I was okay. And then we also escaped being kidnapped together when this guy came up to us on his bike with a map of this woman's house that he was trying to find that he met on MySpace. And we were like 10 just trying to walk to the playground. I don't know if you remember that, Sammy, but anyways, some great childhood memories right there. So without further ado, that was the longest introduction, but let's welcome Sammy. And yeah, how are things going right now, Sammy? I know life's a little crazy with the pandemic, but how are you doing and how have you been adjusting to life back at home?
Well, first of all, I cannot believe that you recapped all of our childhood memories without acknowledging that we've been dumpster diving together. Well, anyways, I want to leave some mystery, so I'll just leave that there. But thank you for asking. What's been helping me cope a lot, honestly, the first thing off the top of my head is going on lots of social distancing hikes with Haley, where we keep our space from each other, but she has been introducing me to so many trail systems in our area that are so close, like within 10 minutes of the place I grew up that I didn't even know existed. So first of all, walking those with Haley and then also going back and jogging them after we've walked them together has been helping me a lot. And I feel like doing this podcast with you is so timely because one of the major things that has been helping me adjust has been running, because that is always a consistent, no matter where you are or what's going on in life, that can always be a constant. And having that consistency has been so helpful. But I think that right now, something that's been helping me adjust a lot is another thing that Haley and I have been doing together, which has been volunteering at N68 Hours of Hunger. So if anybody listening to this is feeling like they have too much time on their hands and like they're helpless in this situation, I would highly recommend you reach out and see where in the community, if you are a young, healthy person who's in a position to be able to do this, obviously, no pressure for people who can't. But if you can, definitely see where you can help, because it's giving me so much of a sense of normalcy to be able to do something that I feel like is actually having an impact. In a situation where I feel so powerless, helping pack meals for kids who are hungry or delivering for Meals on Wheels has been so beyond helpful. So I think that's definitely been the biggest part of adjusting, is just seeing where we can serve others. I think that's helping a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I know that the time we've spent together, I have appreciated so much. The past month, it's really been key in supporting me through the pandemic. And yeah, what you said about how we can support others too, it definitely lifts my spirits so much to restore some faith in humanity after everything that we see on the news, to go and then try to serve others in the best way we can.
Completely.
So Sammy, can you tell us a little bit about your background, just like where you went to school, what it's like there, and what your sport experience was prior to college?
So growing up, and Haley knows this, I was so into softball. Like, softball to me was like running and swimming was to Haley, and still is. And so I had the intention of playing college softball, and I ended up going to Bethany College, which is a teeny tiny liberal arts school in the northern panhandle of West Virginia. It's in the middle of nowhere. We have about 500 students. And so it's just this tiny little hole in the wall college. And so I went and I played competitive travel softball year round for basically my entire life until I went to college. And then I still continued to play in the summer after that. But my first year was not what I anticipated it would be. I just truly did not fit in on the softball team at Bethany. And I was recruited by the coach and I was on the team and everything. And I gave it my all. And by the end of the year, I just realized that it was very much a team of individuals and not the team sport that I had always loved. And that was, while I love softball itself, what I got out of it the most was the team atmosphere. And, you know, through high school and middle school, those had always been some of my closest friends, was my softball family. And so when I got to college and that's not what the experience was, I was just very disheartened by the lack of team camaraderie that I felt. And I really just didn't fit in on the team. It felt like a lot, like I said already, a lot of individuals playing for themselves instead of each other and instead of for the team. And so by the end of my freshman year at Bethany, I guess I should talk about Bethany too. I studied social work and I have a minor in special education. And I felt very fulfilled by both of those through all 4 years. I very much enjoyed my studies and the educational aspect. But at the end of my freshman year of softball, I just was not fulfilled and it wasn't what I had anticipated or what I wanted for myself anymore. And I knew that for my mental health management and also for my physical health management that I needed to have some sort of physical activity, and that I really craved having that team camaraderie still that I hadn't experienced with softball. And I also have an autoimmune disease that's an irritable bowel disease called ulcerative colitis. And so I knew that in order to hold myself accountable to stay active, because that's really what helps me manage my autoimmune disease, I wanted to be physically active still. And so I ended up just kind of stumbling upon the cross-country team. I've never ran probably more than 2 miles consecutively in my entire life at that point. But I emailed the coach and I had a meeting with him and I said, I don't know what kind of tryouts you have or if I would even be good enough to be on the team because I don't have any running background. And his response was, what size uniform do you want to wear? And so I was on the cross-country team and that was basically how I stumbled into the world of cross-country and I haven't looked back since. It's completely changed me as a person and as an athlete, and I couldn't be more grateful that I accidentally became a cross-country runner.
I love that story so much. Did you briefly do indoor track in high school?
Yes, I did do. I did do middle distance track in high school, but that was mainly for conditioning for softball. And the season was so short, I forget that I did that sometimes because it felt so temporary and brief. I did really enjoy that, and I met some really cool friends there, and I have good memories from that, but I definitely did not identify as a runner. I definitely identified as a jogger or a fast walker at best after my indoor track exposure, but yeah.
And I remember, too, I think one of the first times that we caught up after we both started college, you had been saying that you felt like you weren't getting enough conditioning in on the softball team so that you were picking up running as a side. And I also love the fact that, you know, cross country is often thought of by outsiders as an individual sport, but it sounds like you joined it for the team atmosphere. So would you like to speak of what your overall experience was like of being a collegiate runner at Bethany?
I think my overall experience is somewhat summed up in what you just said, actually, that I discovered that in cross country, I found more team camaraderie than I had experienced at all on the softball team at Bethany. And I realized that, I mean, overall, it was just an extremely positive experience because when you take away, you know, also, but I have to recognize Bethany's a very, very small D3 school. So we have a lot of walk-ons on the team. So because people were less pitted against each other, it was so much more of a team sport than softball could have ever been, which was really ironic to me because I feel like most people would identify softball as more of a team sport than cross country, at least from an outside perspective looking in. Cross country doesn't seem to the naked eye like a very much of a team sport, but it was so much more of a team sport because people weren't pitted against each other, so all they had left to do was support each other. And Bethany cross country was definitely one of the best decisions I made for myself during college at all. And it was one of the most supportive environments I could have been in. So yeah, I think when I look back on my entire cross country experience, I think what I gained the most was that joining something where there wasn't pressure to perform. Like with softball, I always felt so much pressure to perform because I had gone to so many camps and clinics to prepare for playing in college, and it had become so much more serious than enjoyable. I think coming onto a team where there wasn't a whole lot expected of me, just to be blunt, I was very new to the sport and I didn't have any background knowledge. I just enjoyed it so much more, and I honestly grew a lot more as an athlete because there was so much less pressure to performance. It was strictly for enjoyment at that point and for physical activity. So that taught me that even if you aren't necessarily getting what you would assume you would get out of an experience, there's so much more that you would get out if you just put yourself out there to try something new. So Bethany cross country completely transformed my ability to be able to enjoy things that I know I'm not going to be good at, and put myself out there in a way that I hadn't before.
How was it for you transitioning to distance running training coming from a non-distance running background?
It was extremely painful. I'm just kidding. It gave me so much respect for other sports because I didn't really dabble all that much outside of softball. And so mentally it was very humbling, to be honest with you, because there were so many workouts and so many races where I just, you know, was clearly very far behind the pack, and learning to embrace those moments and to lean into the discomfort emotionally of that took a lot of like emotional stretching and a lot of growth there. But as far as physically, I definitely had a lot of support in working into it very slowly. I have to give that to my coach so well, how he let me kind of trickle into the season, and he gave me a lot of grace while I was getting into shape. And he started me really early too. When I went and had that meeting with him in the spring of my freshman year, he started me on a slow running plan. That would have been May. So I started training for cross country season in May, which is funny to say now, because now I recognize that you don't ever really start or stop training for running. You kind of always run. It's a lot different from softball. But yeah, he gave me a lot of grace and he helped me really trickle into it slowly. And also adding in swim workouts and different kinds of cross training so that it was a healthy transition. So I'm really thankful for that because it helped it to become more long-term and I didn't get burnt out.
That's awesome. I really appreciate too how it sounds like your coach gives a lot of people an opportunity to flourish and blossom as a runner, no matter where they come from. Cause that's the most important part to me, is just having the attitude of wanting to try it and seeing how you can test your limits.
Oh, completely. He would never turn anyone away from the team who wanted to run. And I have the most respect for him for that. And I also have the utmost respect for my teammates for that, because I'm not the only person on the team who's completely new to running. And there's just a lot of ballsy badasses on the team who just, you know, just thought it looked cool and tried it. So I have a lot of respect for them.
What was your favorite racing or workout memory at Bethany as a Bethany Bison?
As a Bethany Bison. That's so hard because there's so many. I don't know if I can pinpoint one exact time, but when I think of Bethany cross country, I think my favorite times, and this is going to sound very braggy, are on our course, because honestly, we have the most beautiful course in the President's Athletic Conference. I'm going to say it now. It's a controversial opinion, but it is absolutely gorgeous. And I think that my favorite memories, it's just very lush and green. And our coach works tirelessly, like so many long hours to maintain it. And we go out and help a lot too. I don't know if that's typical for a lot of D3 teams, but we help weed whack and mow the lawns and upkeep the fences around the course. And so just kind of spending a lot of time there with my teammates, but specifically, this was not a concise answer, because it's so hard to narrow it down. But specifically, I would say long run Sundays with my girls team, because we would just go out there and just hit the pavement for so long, and we would just meander through these country roads, as the song says, out in the woods, and sometimes we'd get lost and have to kind of wander like Haley and I have recently, and just kind of end up walking through a river and like we're not really sure where we are, but we had so much fun. And just something about being out in the deep woods with no distractions and just a couple of really good friends just sparks the greatest conversation. And so some of my favorite memories are just wandering out in the middle of West Bygone, Virginia with some of my friends.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I love how I called your mascot the Woolly Mammoth the first time, too.
That's hysterical. Complete
seriousness. I was like, oh, the pack of woolly mammoths.
Honestly, that'd be cooler, I have to say.
Oh my gosh. So something we have talked a lot about together has been your coach. So can you speak to how your coach approached training and what overall environment he created on your team?
Yeah, so we've talked about this a lot, about how I think that he was a product of his environment. And I was definitely in a culture shock when I moved to West Virginia from New Hampshire. There's definitely a lot of very backwards thinking people, and that is definitely embedded in the culture there. And so because we had such a small team and a lot of people were walk-ons, there definitely was more time and coaching energy put into a specific few individuals who are going to score points for the team. And I think I respect that from a coaching perspective, because that's how you're going to do better, is if you support people who are going to score points. And while this sounds like a negative thing, I believe that it also was a positive thing in some ways, because while he put more in time and energy into a select few people who were going to do well, who were more naturally gifted runners, and who had more experience, that kind of took a lot of pressure off of me to perform, like I said. So I was able to enjoy it more. And when I was enjoying it more and was more laid back was when I progressed more as a runner anyways. I think I showed my fastest times when I was having the most fun and was the most laid back and relaxed, because I was able to enjoy it. And then when the pressure was taken off, I did better anyways. So I think that while this coaching strategy seems a little back-ass words, there was definitely positives to it. And I think that I grew a lot from that experience.
What about in the ways that he might have treated the women's team versus the men's team?
So that definitely was a bonding experience for the team, because there were some times when we just kind of had to turn a cheek to things that he said in order to, okay, that's not the right way to put it. But for example, there would be times, and this is just one example, of subtle sexism and how, even though it's subtle, it's just as toxic as outright sexism would be. But every time we would get to a cross-country meet, we would usually, our team was small enough that we would just take two vans to get there. And so all the girls sat in one van and all the boys sat in the other van, which he didn't tell us to do that. That's just how it happened. And he would get there and he would tell the boys to get out of the van and to start setting up the tent for the team and to like set up all of the snacks and food. And he would tell us, oh, ladies, you can just sit in the van and relax. And so we would just kind of wait for him to finish speaking, and then we would get up and help the boys set up the tent anyways. But I think that this was an experience for me of learning compassion, because while to me this seemed blatantly sexist and ridiculous, and while this is one small example, this kind of summarizes a lot of little ways where we saw sexism on the team. It helped me to understand that it's important to recognize where somebody comes from, and that even when someone is completely backwards thinking and they have no malicious intent, you can still kind of teach them the way that you'd like to be treated in small, subtle ways.
I think that's really interesting what you said about teaching them how you want to be treated. I never thought of it that way. So how did this subtle sexism that you speak of affect you and your teammates' self-perceptions?
That is a really good question. I think that because a lot of us were on the same page about how that's wrong and about how he had no ill intent, but it was still very wrong, I think that it didn't necessarily impact my self-perception all that much, because me and my teammates were on the same page. And while we didn't necessarily agree with him all the time, we were on the same page with in supporting each other and with treating each other equally. And we have a lot of support from the boys team. When I say my team, I think specifically a lot of the girls team, because we practiced together and we spent the most time together. But I know that a lot of the guys on the guys team were on the same page with us as well. So while he may have showed sexism in some ways and definitely put more time into some runners than others, I think that required us to lean more on each other. And I think that is, while that doesn't take away from obviously sexism being wrong, I think that it brought me closer to my teammates and I learned more from them than I ever would have otherwise.
Did you ever, I feel like the word confront sounds aggressive, but did you ever like approach him about some of your differing points of view and have uncomfortable conversations with him?
We definitely did throughout all of my time at Bethany, especially where he is the only coach for the whole team. We don't have any assistant coaches and we don't have any people who help us to maintain the course or anything like that. He really does everything for the entire team. He does all the recruiting. He does all of the workouts, obviously, and he maintains the entire course by himself. So everything he does is under scrutiny of the whole team all the time. And I think that, thankfully, we created an environment. By the time that I was in my last season, we had created enough of a comfortable environment where there was a lot of feedback being given all the time from coaches, from him to the team, and from the team to him. So it became a pretty, although we all came from very diverse backgrounds with very diverse perspectives and ideas about how things could go, I think that we did a good job of creating a safe space where people could voice where they were uncomfortable and where they wanted to see things change. So thankfully, although there was definitely a few toxic ideas being thrown around, people felt comfortable with their voice being heard, which I think is a healthy environment for a team. So that was good.
Right. It's really hard. I feel like there's a lot of conversations about, you know, whether it's eating disorder culture or just mental health for athletes and like how to better educate coaches on handling those types of situations. But what you're speaking of to me is not something that can be learned in a one-day coaching workshop. It's takes a lot more patience and sort of like figuring out how to like wiggle your way in there, because you don't want to attack who he is as a person or where he came from, because it's just like something that's been ingrained in years and years of his development as a human and as an adult in the world.
Completely.
So how receptive was he to the feedback that your team provided?
He's very receptive. And I think that we did a good job of applying pressure to him in a kind way. And that's what I've experienced being in West Virginia in general, to be honest, because he's definitely not unique in the way that he approaches things and the way that he thinks. And it's just taught me, you know, being a liberal person from New England, I really had to learn quickly that people don't change overnight. And it doesn't matter how wrong you think they are, if you don't, and how wrong they are in general, you have to be compassionate to where they're coming from and understand why they are the way they are. And I learned quickly that if you belittle anyone or make them feel less than with your own opinions, that they're not going to try to hear your perspective anyways. And no matter how backwards their way of thinking is, they still deserve the respect and kindness that you'd show anyone else. And that is, showing them respect and kindness is the most productive way to hopefully help them see what you're trying to say. So it's been a very good growing experience for me to, you know, kind of go back and forth with him about things. I hope it was as beneficial to him. He might not say the same about us arguing, but I got a lot out of it.
That's great. That sounds like some really valuable lessons, especially with how polarized the political scene and just sort of our society as a whole is right now. And I feel like I'm always making references, running references to life. So how much you can learn through the sport.
Definitely.
You spoke to building that two-way street of feedback and creating a new team culture over your few years on the team. How did you do that?
So when I first joined the team culture was actually non-existent or bad. It was not great. And I was a sophomore at that point. So it felt mainly like the upperclassmen who were the leadership on the team were mostly running as individuals, mostly not engaged in the team atmosphere and had no regard for what the team culture was. They just didn't really care. And so as the more toxic members of the team graduated and the next season rolled in, the people who were left over, and we have a very small team, so that's a small pool of people, but the people who were left over and myself had a meeting over the summer, and we continued to discuss and have meetings over the summer about being more intentional about what we wanted our team culture to be and how we wanted to work towards our goals of having a good, healthy team culture. And so mainly what we did was very cliche team activities. Like we did a lot of movie nights and we went on bowling trips and we ate almost every meal together in the cafeteria. And I found that while those things are all cliche, it was really just a vehicle of spending a lot more time together and getting to know each other better. Because while we were a really small team, we were a team of very diverse backgrounds. And that's what I love about it. That was the absolute best part of it. But just spending a lot of time together and appreciating each other's differences was huge. And I think also a big part of it was creating an atmosphere where people felt safe being themselves enough to where if somebody did say something, because, you know, while our coach said has some problematic points of view, in my opinion, there's also definitely people on the team who have problematic points of view just because of them also being a product of their environment. So creating a culture on the team where people could be themselves, but they could also say something to someone else if they felt uncomfortable or if they felt threatened in any way, in a kind way, was definitely a huge part of developing the team culture. So if somebody makes a negative comment, you know, feeling comfortable enough to talk to them after and say, I don't know where that came from within you, but I just want you to know that this isn't really a space where you can be negative like that. And we want everyone to feel supported and like everyone is a vital part of the team because they are. So just working on making sure everyone feels comfortable being themselves while also keeping it as a very safe space for everyone to flourish.
How did creating that comfort reflect on the way that your team was able to train and race together?
It definitely, as soon as we got a handle on the team culture, we definitely performed a lot better. I think when people were comfortable enough to be themselves, they were more comfortable to support each other and to push each other harder. And cross country has taught me that just by pushing yourself harder, you're inspiring people around you to work harder. So in an environment where people can feel comfortable, I think that everyone was just more apt to have fun. And I think for people who have been really serious about running for a long time, you might not notice how much better you do when you're enjoying it, because I wouldn't have noticed that about softball. But where I came from, not having any running background, I definitely noticed really quickly that people were doing better when they were enjoying themselves and when they were just letting themselves have fun with it.
So being from a really small D3 school, I'm interested, and just like in general from what you talked about of the culture and community at Bethany in West Virginia, I'm interested, how did cross country fit into the larger context of your school and the athletic department?
So Bethany being where it is and also being as small as it is very big on football, because we have to rely on our large football team to draw in a lot of our students in general. And so our athletic department, because of that, just has a very macho kind of cocky attitude in general, I would say, from the majority of the teams. And I think that the cross country team does not fit in the best way. I feel like and maybe this is true for cross country in general, from what I've noticed from other teams we've trained with and other teams that we've interacted with at meets, but cross country really seems to be the island of misfit toys. In a lot of ways, it attracts very quirky people and very spunky people, and we honestly just do not align with any of the rest of the teams in the school, which could sound like a negative thing, but I see it as a really positive thing, because we really, you know, when you can't fit in, you're kind of left to do on your own whatever you want. And so we just made cross country this family that we wanted it to be, with people from every walk of campus that we just had so much fun together. And we weren't macho about it, and we weren't like uber cocky athletic. We just, you know, did our thing and had fun. So I would say that we really don't fit into the athletic department, but in a good way, I think.
That's great. Yeah. It's so interesting to me to think about what it would be like to go to a school just with men in general, but especially what type of culture football can create. Cause I know that that can be somewhat of a, or not somewhat, but a very toxic culture within the larger picture of an athletic department sometimes. So I'm glad that you guys are able to feel comfortable and excited about being the misfits in that.
Most definitely. And also, I just have to add, in case anyone from the team is listening to this, they would give me such a hard time for not adding, that we are the most academic team on both sides, women's and men's. We've won that award as long as I've played cross country for the highest GPA, team with the highest GPA in the school. So while we don't fit in, necessarily socially, we definitely fit in with each other socially, and we rock the books. So I just have to put that out there too.
That's awesome. So what are some of your future goals for yourself, and how do you see running fitting into the greater picture of your life?
Honestly, I think what I've learned from the state of the world right now is that I don't know how to plan. And that even when I did think I knew how to plan before all this happened, and when I felt like I had control, like everybody keeps talking right now about how everything feels so out of control. And I've definitely said that in the past couple of weeks, like, I feel like I have no control over the situation. I think that I realized that I never had control all along, and that anything in my life could have completely rocked the boat. And this just happened to be what rocked the boat right now. And so I have loose plans. But in general, I'm just open to seeing where life takes me. I've applied to a lot of jobs. I'm applying to grad school. I'm also just looking into traveling. I have no idea. I'm just going to kind of put myself out there and see what happens. And I do recognize that I'm privileged enough to be able to take that freedom right now. And I'm very thankful and very lucky just to be in the, just to have options and not to be pinned down right now. But as far as where running fits into that, that's another thing that I'm so thankful for that running has brought me, is that running can fit into whatever I'm going to do. And I know that I will make sure that it fits into my life no matter where I am or what I'm doing. Because unlike softball, you can run by yourself whenever you have free time. It requires very little equipment. And you can do it in so much more weather than you can play softball in. You can run wherever you are whenever you want to. And so I'll definitely be continuing to sign up for races and hopefully joining running clubs and hopefully just jogging with friends, because I love the social aspect of running. But I'm really thankful to have a hobby, unlike a lot of other team, quote unquote, team sports that I've played, where, you know, you have to keep finding a league or you have to keep finding a team to play on. I'm thankful to have running forever now.
What would high school you think if she knew that you became a collegiate runner?
Well, I did tell my high school softball coach that I was running in college, and he literally laughed in my face. So I think that my high school self would probably laugh in my face too if she heard me saying all this. But I would definitely tell her, keep your options open, because you have no idea what you'll end up absolutely falling in love with.
I feel like that nicely transitions into our final question of, what is a piece of advice that you would tell to a younger version of yourself? And what is a message that you want to leave for a future version of yourself?
This is such a good and such a hard question. I feel like all the really good questions are really, really hard like that. But I think that advice that I would tell a younger version of myself would just be to continue following all of your curiosities and continue to let yourself enjoy little moments, because I heard this quote recently that went along the lines of, you aren't going to remember specific days or specific weeks, but you will remember little moments here and there, and you'll remember how you felt. And when I look back on my last 4 years at Bethany, I don't necessarily remember specific workouts that I did or, you know, specific assignments I completed. I remember the spontaneous trips that I made with my team down to the creek where we skipped rocks. And I remember, you know, the incredible feeling after a really good race. I don't remember where the race was or what my time was, but I remember laughing in the van with my teammates, and I remember screaming, absolutely screaming at the end of a race for somebody who was still finishing, or screaming for the boys team and like planning out strategically where we were going to wait on the course to cheer for them, like which turn was the best. So I think just enjoy the little moments, because that's what you're going to miss the most. And I think that a message for my future version of myself would be to continue following my curiosities, because that is what has taught me the biggest lessons and helped me grow the most at Bethany, and also been where I found where I was most passionate, was just following what I was curious. I definitely wasn't passionate about cross country when I joined, but I was curious about what it could give me. So just being open to trying any kind of new thing and not being afraid to not be good at it, and just continue to enjoy things that I'm not good at. Because if I just wait and only participate in activities that I'm good at, I'm just going to miss out on so much, you know? And there's so much to be enjoyed besides being good at something. So much, and so many connections to be made.
I so appreciate your positive outlook and your just like go for it attitude. It sounds like that's brought you so many wonderful experiences in your life. Well, thank you so much, Sammy, for your beautiful reflective responses to your time as a Bethany distance runner. And I really appreciate just hearing the perspective too of someone from a program like yours, because I think there's always so much emphasis on the teams that are out there winning national championships or contending for those titles, which there's a lot to be said about that. But most people aren't having that experience, and it doesn't mean anything more or less to just be on a D3 team in the middle of West Virginia. Do you have any final words or shout outs that you want to give? Is there anything that you think was missing from your story?
I just have to really, and I think probably a lot of runners, or probably every runner, can relate to this, but I just really owe it to my teammates for believing in me, even in moments when I didn't believe in myself, and for really stimulating the kind of growth that I want to embrace in my life to become the best person that I can be. Because the support that you feel from your cross country teammates is really just like unlike no other. You know, they see you kind of at your worst moments and at your best, and they love you unconditionally anyway. So shout out to my team. Thank you so much for all the memories. And even though I have some animosity towards you for incorporating y'all into my vocabulary, I still appreciate so much all of the good times. And thank you for helping me grow as a person.
Well, once again, thank you, Sammy. And thank you for sticking with me through all these years and supporting me during this pandemic and whatever other crazy things are going to show up in the world, who knows?
Haley, thank you so much for this amazing opportunity to be so reflective. This really was so therapeutic in me realizing just how much I got out of cross countries, and it's giving me so much more inspiration to keep running. So thank you for so many thoughtful questions and for giving me the space to do this. That was so